My name is Daryl Johnson. I am from Sacramento, California, formerly of Dallas, Texas. Still have an identity there. And I thank the Lord for being here, and I thank the Lord for his faithfulness to me. And these are your prayers, because I realize that there is nothing I can do independent of the Lord. It's really true. The Lord gives us what he wants us to have, and I know that each of us are going through something, and there all the time we hurt. What I mean by that is we go through things that are difficult places in our experience and very challenging. I want to put the title on the board. I want you to pray for me that I'll be able to get it out like the Lord wants me to. I'm writing, does this offend you? And on the bottom, I want to put humility, and I want to put pride up here. And I think we've all been through something in our lives. We've been offended, right? Is there anybody here that has not been offended? That somebody did something or said something to them, to you, that hurt your feelings in some kind of way? You felt insulted. You felt that there was no right that they had to do this particular thing to me. Anybody that has not felt that way that is of any age. All right, so I think that I can't say that I haven't felt that. And I think generally what tends to happen when we're in situations like that, the things that happen, whatever happens, does not meet our expectation. So we have a certain way that we expect a person to respond to us, and they don't respond that way. And when they don't respond that way, I get hurt. We get hurt. And when we get hurt like that, then oftentimes it's situations that we have to seek the Lord to help us to forgive that person. And I've been in situations, I've been saved for a very long time, over 40 years. And I've been in the ministry for most of that time, about 35, 36 years. And I have had to pray for myself to be able to forgive somebody that offended me or hurt me in such a way. And I happen to be one of those people that don't get easily offended. But I have gotten offended. But have you ever been offended by the Lord? Have you ever been offended by the Lord? I want to read some things here. Okay, pray for me and help me to read. If you can give a microphone to my wife. She generally helps me in reading. I want us to turn to John, the 6th chapter. I want to start reading at the 13th verse. John 6, verse 13. If you have that, you might read it for us, please. Therefore, they gathered them together.
And filled 12 baskets.
They filled 12 baskets with the fragments
of the five barley loaves
which remained over and above. Unto them that had eaten.
Then those men,
when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did,
said,
This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world.
When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force
to make him a king,
he departed again into a mountain.
So they wanted a king. They were looking for a temporal king, someone that would come and deliver them from the political state that they were in. And so they saw the things that Jesus had done. They had learned about the Messiah. They knew that there would be somebody that would come and deliver them. So when they saw Jesus, they had talked to Jesus, and they had probably, no doubt, if you'll allow me to, this is conjecture, but if you'll allow me to say it, I don't believe it's contrary to the scripture, that they would talk to him about being a king. And Jesus realized, no, I'm not. That's not why I come. And he began to explain to them and share with them why he was not to be the king. And then they said, you know what, we're just going to take you, and we're going to force you to be our king. It doesn't really matter what you think. We're going to force you to do it. And so Jesus just slipped away and left. So the response that he had to them was not the response that they expected. So they went on. And so what happens the next day? Let's go drop down to the 22nd verse. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea
saw that there was none other boat there, save the one whereinto his disciples were entered,
and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat,
but that his disciples were gone away alone, Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias
nigh unto the place where they did eat bread after the Lord had given thanks.
When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples,
they all took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Now, I want to say this, that these people were seeking Jesus, and that was a good thing generally, right? So they were seeking after Jesus, and they put forth a lot of effort. They got on a ship, they went around, and they were looking for Jesus. In my mind, I believe the reason that they were looking for Jesus is because they had the fish and the loaves the day before. And let me tell you, folks will drive a long way for a good meal, right? And I think that probably, with the Lord's hand taking it and blessing it and breaking it, I believe the Lord, the ruler of the universe, I believe that was probably the best food that they have ever tasted. Have you ever had the best food that you've ever tasted? And there's a restaurant up in Joplin or a restaurant in Springfield. And while we're here at Monarch, we're going to run up there and you're going to go all the way there to have dinner, right? Just one meal. You're going to pay for some. This is what those individuals were doing at that particular time. So they were seeking Jesus. Let me tell you, you can seek Jesus for the wrong reasons. All right? You can seek after him. There's a lot of people that because of the status that's in the world, if I attach myself to this to be a Christian, then there's a certain status that I'll have as a result of that. So you can seek Jesus. There's nothing wrong with seeking him, but I want to make certain that you're here tonight seeking the Lord for the right reasons. All right? Because if you seek him for the wrong reasons, he's not going to respond to you in the way that you want him to. All right? So here they are seeking the Lord for the wrong reasons. So now he goes on to tell them, read it.
When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither?
When did you come here?
Jesus answered and said,
Verily, verily, I say unto you,
you seek me not because you saw the miracles,
not because of the spiritual matters, not because of what I can do for you in the matter of your soul, not because of the spiritual things that you need. You didn't seek me for that. What you sought me for is because you did eat of the loaves
and were filled. Labor not.
He says, labor not
for the meat which perisheth,
but for that meat which endureth
unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you,
for him hath God the Father sealed. So he's saying, don't put forth such efforts to do temporal things. And this it's nothing wrong with you wanting yesterday was yesterday. Today is another day. You're going to be hungry today as opposed to what you were yesterday. It's nothing wrong with that. He said, but don't put forth the great effort that you're putting forth to labor for things that are temporal. He says, I want you to labor for that which is spiritual, all right? So what does he say? He goes on and says, I want you to labor for that. Labor not for meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. All right? So here is the precursor. On down, we're going to find out what happens when Jesus began to talk to them and tell them that there is something deeper that I want you to go to. So I want to say to you as an audience today, there is some place deeper that the Lord wants us to go. All of us, I don't care where you are. I don't care if you've been saved for 75 years. The Lord, there's a deeper place. There is something that God wants you to get a hold of. So we come to places like that. We listen to individuals. There is some longing in our soul. I don't believe that everybody came here with everything just perfect, just like they wanted. I came here seeking the Lord. And there are some things that when I come and I preach, oftentimes, what does the scripture say? It says that the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit. I need something. I need you. I need what the Lord has given you to give to me, and therefore I can be a better saint. Maybe some of the trials that I'm going through, some of the things that are difficult for me, I hear some sister stand up and give a testimony, or some brother over here just say a prayer, or somebody comes, slaps me on the back and say, you know what, it's going to be all right, Brother Darrell. I need that. You need that, right? May the Lord help us. Now, we're going to go a little further here. So he says here, and when the Lord says that I want you to go a little bit deeper, these individuals, he said, I want you not to seek for the things that are temporal. I want you to seek for the things that are deeply spiritual. Yes. And because they were not going to do that, the Lord, I had a sister, Sister Annabelle, some of you knew her. One of the things that she would say to me, I don't know if this was a private preacher-to-preacher conversation, but I remember when I first moved to Dallas and she was there just a few months before she passed away, and she said, you know what, I want to preach. I've got something that the Lord has given me, and I believe what the Lord wants to do is just knock some of that stuff out of folks. Now, that was the kind of language she used. Now, what does that mean? That means I'm going to give them a lesson, and it's maybe some hard things. And have you ever had the Lord talk to you in a hard way? Have you? I have. Have you ever had your parent, your mother to talk to you in a hard way? You ever had your mother say, come here? And you knew when she lowered her voice. Now, my mother never hollered at us. That wasn't the danger. The danger was when she lowered her voice. Then you knew you were in trouble. Come here. What did you say? Come here. And you'd come here, yes, ma'am. And then you knew you were in trouble, right? So here's what she would do that. And so, and here is what the Lord is getting ready to do. You have sought me for the wrong reasons. I need to let you know that there is a deeper relationship, and I want you to understand that relationship. And I want you to understand that there is going to be a translation of things. So let's go a little further here.
28. Then said they unto him,
yes.
What shall we do that we might work the works
of God? What shall we do that
God?
We might work the works
Jesus
of God?
Jesus answered and said unto
he
them.
He answered and said unto them.
This is the work of God. That ye believe,
that you
on,
believe
him,
on him.
Whom he hath sent.
Whom he hath sent. Now he's saying that to them. The work of God is not going out and doing a whole lot of things. It's not about things. It's about believing on him who he has sent. Now the Lord is getting ready to tell them something a little bit deeper too. So let's drop down to the 41st verse here. For the sake of time, I want to make certain that we get a hold to the essence of what we're trying to do here.
The Jews then murmured and said unto him, I am the bread.
When he said unto them, I am the bread which came down from heaven.
And they said,
Is not this Jesus,
the son of Joseph,
whose father and mother we know?
How is it then that he says,
I came from heaven?
Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves.
Yes.
No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him.
I want us for a moment to think about this in real time. So we look at it from a historical standpoint, and we have the benefit and the vantage point of looking at what the Bible says historically. And so we know all of the scenes and all of the things. We have the lineage and all of that, but they did not. So you have to understand that they're saying, listen, he's saying that he's the bread of life and that he's come down from heaven real time. So it's me standing up here. If you can allow me, I'm standing up here in the place of Jesus. And then I say, I have the bread of life. I am come down from heaven. What would you think? Right. Most of us would. But I know your mother. I grew up with you. You lived on Smith Street in Okmulgee. What are you talking about that you're the bread of life? But one of the things that he said is that the work of God is that you believe on him whom he has sent, right? And so there had to be something that happens in the confines of their mind for them to believe that Christ. There had to be something that penetrated their heart for them to understand and believe that Jesus Christ was really the Son of God and not just the Son of Mary. All right? So here is what he's presenting to them. He's laying the foundation out right here. Now, we're at the 41st verse. The 47th. Drop down to the 47th
verily, verily, I say unto you.
Verily, verily, I say unto you.
He that believeth on me
hath everlasting life.
I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness
and they are dead.
But this is the bread which cometh down from heaven
that a man may eat thereof and not die.
I am the living bread which came down from heaven.
If any man eat of this bread,
he shall live forever.
And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Think about that in real time terms. The bread that I'm going to give is my flesh. Now, it makes no sense if we just look at it and read it in a literal way, right? And so it has to be translated. So if I'm listening, there are some saints here from Austria, Germany. They speak a different language, right? I don't understand that language, right? Or somebody that speaks Spanish. I don't understand the language. It makes no sense to me, right? But it doesn't mean that it doesn't make sense. It makes sense to them. But it has to be translated. When they take the words that they're speaking and they translate those words into English, I understand them in a better way, don't I? So in the same way, what we have to understand in a spiritual sense, when Jesus speaks, he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. It has to be translated from the temporal sense to the spiritual sense. And once it's translated to the spiritual sense, it makes all the sense in the world. He's not talking about taking and biting his finger off or the lobe of his ear. He's not talking about that, is he? He's talking about giving his life as the bread, giving his life on the cruel cross, being beaten and dying on the cross for our sins. And then I partake of the suffering that he has. I have to be a partaker of that. I pick up my cross. I carry my cross. I am partaker of that suffering. I enter into that. And once I digest that and it goes into my system, it changes me. The blood of Jesus changed me, doesn't it? So I have to partake of it. I have to partake of his blood. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from how many sins? Most of our sins. But you know what? There's going to be some things that you're just not going to have the victory over. Is that what it talks about? No. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins. I believe that still. You know why I believe it? Because it's an experience that I had. I had to can't help it. I used to do the things that I didn't want to do. I hated them. And then I got a hold of the Lord. I kept saying, I'm not going to do it. And then I was sharing with a young person earlier today. And I said, you know what? I told the Lord, all right, what I'll do is I'll give you 6 months of my life. I'll go all into it. I'll do whatever it is that you want for 6 months. And I'm gonna have an end game to it, because in 6 months, I can go back and I can do what I wanted to do. If it doesn't work. And because I was one of those people. I was one of those people that knew exactly what I wanted to do. I was not one that when you went to school, you decided, I don't know what my major is. I'm undecided right now. I wasn't that. From probably high school, I knew exactly what I wanted to be. And I was going in that direction until the Lord arrested me. And when the Lord arrested me in college, and then all of a sudden the Lord's talking to my heart, and I said, all right, Lord, I'll yield. I began to cry. And that's when I gave my heart fully to the Lord. I said, I'm going to give it everything. I'm not just going to put my toe in it and find out if it works or not. I'm going to say, I'm going to give you everything that I have, and I'm going to do it for 6 months. I did it for 6 months, and let me tell you, I'm still doing it. From that time to this, I'm still doing it. Why? Because it works. Let me tell you, it's not just something that my mother taught me about. It's not just something that these folks here talk about. It's something that's real to my heart. You know, one of the greatest things, you probably heard me say it 100 times, but one of the greatest things about salvation is the power to say no to the devil. I don't have to do it when the devil makes the presentation and he tempts me in a certain way. I don't have to do it. Why? Because of the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. Because I have partaken of his flesh and I have drunk his blood. I have made the translation where it makes sense to me now. Now I understand it. You may not understand it today, but let me tell you, the Lord wants to give you an understanding, a greater understanding of what that means. All right? Okay, so he goes on, 51. Read, please.
I am the living bread which came down from heaven.
Yes.
If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever.
Yes.
And the bread that I will give is my flesh.
The bread I will give is my flesh.
Which I will give for the life of the world.
Which I will give for the life of the world. Continue.
The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat?
Again, let's talk about it in real time. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? That's an insult to my intelligence. I mean, come on. It's an insult to my intelligence in real time, right? All right, go.
Then Jesus said unto them,
Verily, verily, I say unto you,
except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man,
and drink his blood,
ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood
has eternal life.
And I will raise him up
again in the last day.
For my flesh is meat indeed.
And my blood is drink indeed.
He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me.
And I in him.
As the living Father has sent me,
and I live by the Father,
so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me.
This is that bread. Now, again, what we're talking about, it may not make sense in the temporal sense, but when you translate it to the spiritual sense, it makes all the sense in the world. How does it work? I don't know how it works. If someone walks up to me, Brother Darrell, you've been pastoring for 30-something years. Surely you know how the crucifixion works and how the blood of Jesus Christ works. I don't know how it works, but let me tell you, I just know it does. That when I have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever the issue is, whatever the situation is that I'm dealing with, I have faith that the Lord can do it. The Lord always does it. And he's done it for me for 30-something years, 40-something years. Thank the Lord. That's your testimony. Some of your testimony too, isn't it? All right.
58. This is that bread which came down from
heaven.
Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead.
Now, again, what we're talking about, he's talking about your fathers ate manna, and that's a natural temporal thing. And now he's saying it's not that. It's something a little bit different than that. It's something quite different than that. That sustained you in a temporal sense. This is going to sustain you in a spiritual sense. All right, read.
Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead.
The fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this
of this bread shall live forever.
Shall live forever.
These things said he in the synagogue.
These things said he in the synagogues as he taught in Capernaum.
Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this,
what did they do?
This is an hard saying.
It's a hard saying. Who can hear it? Who can hear it?
When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it.
He knew that the disciples murmured at it.
He said unto them, doth this offend you?
He said, does this offend you? Many of his disciples said, when they had heard this, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured, he said unto them, are you offended? Are you offended by this? Does this offend you? What do you think they said about that? Some of them left him and didn't come back. So what we talk about when we're talking about offense is that there is something that affects us. We're insulted in some kind of a way. We feel that I don't deserve the response that you gave me. Here's where we were. We were going to try to make you king, and now you just completely dismissed us. And now we're insulted, and it's a hard saying. You know, I'm trying to stick with you here, Jesus, but I just can't do that. You know that that's the testimony of some of you today. Here it is. You know, those folks over there under that tabernacle, they dress funny. They're good people. I understand that. But you know what? There are just some things that I just don't see. Let me tell you, I was there one time. I didn't see it, and I decided in my mind I was not going to follow this way. I don't feel like I have to. I don't feel like this is something necessary. All this stuff isn't necessary. But let me tell you what I've learned when I actually translated it, and it became something that was real to me, and I tested it for 6 months, put it on the test field, and made certain it doesn't work. And I found out that in every instance, it worked. And my testimony is that there were some things that I still didn't see, and there were some things that I still didn't agree with, and I still didn't want to do, and there was just something in my heart, I don't want to do this, Lord. And then all of a sudden, I said, but I'm going to do it. I said, I've given you 6 months. I'm going to give you my 6 months. And I wrote it down, all those things, and I said, you need to answer these questions for me, Lord. Put them in my wallet, and I remember I had it for years, and there were most of the questions the Lord answered. Some of them it took years for him to answer to my satisfaction. But let me tell you what it was. Was I offended at what the Lord did, how the Lord responded? Sometimes somebody will put their arm around you and somebody will say something. And this is why I think it's very important for us. When people come to our settings, when they come to our services, they should not be offended by what we do, right? They should not be offended. If they're offended, they're offended at the Lord, not at us, all right? Now we're doing well. That's just what the Bible says. The Bible says, and I just told them the truth. But you know what? Sometimes we don't need to say the truth. We don't need to say it. You know what the Lord did? You remember Ezekiel? You know the situation about Ezekiel where Ezekiel said the Lord gave him the words to speak. And he said he went in the heat of his spirit. And the Lord said, I want you to sit down and I don't want you to say a word. But Lord, you gave me this. This is what you gave me. These people need to hear this. But the Lord said, I want you to sit down. I don't want you to say anything for 7 days. Why did he do that? He said it because you need to sit where the people sit. You need to understand what they're going through. You need to understand their difficulties. You need to understand all of these things. And then once you understand it, now I want you to give the message. It's the same message, but with a different spirit. Right. Not in the heat of my spirit. Not in the heat of Ezekiel's spirit. It's in the spirit of the Lord, a nice, calm spirit. And sometimes, yeah, does the Lord ever come down on you strong? Yes, he does. But you know what? There's something about it. My mother came down on us strong. And you know what? But there was something about it that you knew she loved you. She'd tell you to come here and she'd tell you to sit down. And you know what? My mother, one of the things, it would probably be good if she just popped you upside the head and told you to go on. But that was how my mother did it. You know what she'd do? She'd come and you'd look at her. You'd be there. You're already guilty. And she said, oh, you just grieve my heart. And your mother ever said that? You just grieve my heart. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And those were the words that cut. But you know, what could you do? You say, Mama, what did I do this time? Well, I knew what I did, but ultimately, don't say, I'd rather you be angry at me than just, oh, you grieve my heart with those sad eyes. And you know what I believe? I believe we grieve God's heart. I believe he looks at us and he says, You know, I tried. My mother and my parents tried to teach us right. They brought us to Sunday school. They lived the life before us. Behind closed doors, we had family altar, family devotion. Not all of us followed. A good majority of us went our way, and then we found our way back home. Isn't that wonderful? And so some of you have gone away. There is it's nothing to it. You know it's something to it. Come back home. Come back home. There is something that God has for you. Give the Lord 6 months of your life where you give it everything that you've got. And if it doesn't work, go back to do what you were doing. It's okay. All right? But give the Lord time. And what often happens is we don't give the Lord that kind of a time. We don't give him that kind of dedication where we give him everything. Well, I'm going to tip my foot in it and see if it's nice and warm or if it's cold. And then when we tip our foot in it, we won't just plunge out into the deep. Just do it. And let me tell you how you do it. You do it right here. You do it right here. And you say, you know what I want to do? I want to do this. I'm going to try it. And I'm going to give it everything I got. When I have problems, let me tell you, do you know why pastors are there? We're there because you can pick up the phone and you can talk to us at any time. Not just pastors, but the Lord will give you a friend, somebody that loves you, somebody that's concerned about your well-being. The Lord will give you that kind of a person that you can pick up the phone and tell them all your secrets. You can dump all the things out and you won't hear about it. We learned a little bit about that today. You won't hear about it at the over the pulpit. Well, somebody said this and somebody said, and you know who they're talking about. May the Lord help us. We have the love of God, the love of Christ. Yes. All right, let's go a little further here. Let's go to Matthew. Let's go to the 11th chapter and the first verse, Matthew 11 and verse 1.
And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his
came to pass when Jesus had made an end of his, commanding his 12 disciples.
He departed thence to teach
and to preach in their cities.
Now when John had heard in the prison of Christ, he sent two of his disciples
and said unto him,
Art thou he that should come?
Or do we look for another?
Jesus answered and said unto them,
Go and show John
again those things which you do hear and see.
The blind receive their sight.
The lame walk.
The lepers are cleansed.
The deaf hear.
And the dead are raised.
And the poor have the gospel preached unto them.
And blessed is he.
Whosoever shall not be offended in me.
And I want to read a few versions of it. It says, one version says, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. One says, blessed is one who does not stumble on account of me. And blessed is any person who does not take offense at me. And blessed is the one who isn't offended by me. And God blesses those who do not turn away because of me. Now, let's think about this. John the Baptist, all of them are seeking for a king. John the Baptist is in prison. And oftentimes when we get into crisis situations, when we get in situations of crisis, we reassess where we are. Why am I here? Now, we talk about John the Baptist. John the Baptist is the same John the Baptist that when Jesus came in the wilderness, he said, I have need to be baptized of you. And now he's reassessing where he is. Have you ever reassessed your spiritual walk? What conclusion did you come to? I've reassessed mine on various occasions. And there has to be some anchor that you have that keeps you from wandering away. There has to be some kind of a relationship. If you don't have that relationship, you're going to reassess it and you're going to reconstruct, and there's going to be things in your mind that I'm not quite sure, I never was quite sure about this, and this is not something I see, and so I'm going to go in a different direction, and I'm going to try that for a moment. Let me tell you, all of us have had that. Sometimes you think, oh, Brother Darrell, you didn't go through that. Oh, yes, I did. I went through that process in my mind, and then I came to the conclusion. Let me tell you what the Lord always gives you. The Lord always gives you somebody else that has gone that route, and you can look at their lives, and you can see the shipwreck that's there. Very, very few that have gone in a different direction are better off than those that have stood by what God has told them to do. Now, what does that mean? First of all, it means that you have a personal relationship with the Lord. First of all, you have a clear understanding of what God is requiring and desiring of you. And next of all, one of the things is you live where you are. What I find that happens is so many people live far beyond, try to live far beyond where they are. That's one of the things, that's one of the maladies that I've seen in my ministry over the years, that a person, they see somebody else that's all pious and they don't do this and they don't do that, and they endeavor to live like that. And that's good. That's a good example. But what I want you to do is I want you to find out where you really are in a spiritual sense, and I want you to live there. And I want everybody else around you to understand that that's where that person lives, and give them space to live there. Now, let me tell you what I want you to understand. That's not where you stay. That's where you're living now. Let me tell you what happened. The first little house that my wife and I bought and lived in was a little apartment that we lived in that was probably 550 square feet, right? Do you think we still live in that apartment? No, we don't. You know what? We moved up. And let me tell you, in the same way, what God wants you and me to do, what he wants us to do, is that this is where I live now, but I'm not, I see that sister up there. She's been saved for 70 years. That's what I'm striving for. I'm not there yet, but I'm going to get there by the help and the grace of God. That's what God wants you to do. But let me tell you, don't ever walk up to somebody and say, well, if you was really saved, then you wouldn't be doing this and you wouldn't be doing that. You don't know what people are doing. You are going to judge another man's servant? Let me tell you what we can't do. You can't sin. And if you see somebody doing something, wrap your arm around them and say, you know, we love you, but let's talk about that. But don't condemn them. You understand what I'm saying? Are y'all with me? All right. So here is John the Baptist that's reassessing where he is. And he says, are you the one that should come? Are you going to be the one that comes, or do we look for another? And what did Jesus say? Jesus did not say to him, yes, I'm the one, or no, I'm not the one. He just said, here is the evidence. Here's the evidence, and I want you to go back, and I want you to examine the evidence, the things that you've seen. And if you examine the evidence, and you examine it from an objective standpoint, you will see that these folks here, whatever issues we have, these folks love the Lord. And if you look at them as opposed to anybody else, what you'll find is these people love the Lord, and they can stand in, competition with anybody else, right? No one is going to exceed that, those that are truly endeavoring to live for the Lord. Oh, well, you have your stragglers? Of course you're going to have those. There's always going to be a mixed multitude. There's always going to be somebody that's not quite living. Take your eyes off of them. It says, mark the perfect man. Behold the upright. Stop looking at people that don't do what they're supposed to do. They're going to be always going to be those people. But there's going to be somebody that does what God wants them to do. Those are the people you put your eyes on. Amen. All right? So what did the Lord say? He says, blessed is he who is not offended by me. You're going to be blessed because, John, I'm not going to give you the response that you're expecting. I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. So sometimes what we have to understand, the Lord is not going to give us the response. So maybe you're in a situation here. Maybe you're in a situation in your life and you have an expectation. Lord, I trusted you. And I had somebody to do this. This is a relative of mine, passed away. And we were talking to their daughter and very close. They were a very close relative. For the sake of prudence, I'm not going to say who it was. And they said, you know, and we were telling them, well, just pray. And somebody else, I wasn't the one talking to them, but they were telling me, yeah, I prayed. It didn't work. It didn't work. I mean, mom is dead. What do you mean praying? What do you mean by that? You know, so now when we're trying to point them to the Lord, what do you say to somebody like that? We prayed. I poured out my heart, and my mother languished on a hospital bed. And she's a young woman. There was a young woman, died of COVID. 48 years old. Her daughter, 20 years old. And now this God that you guys are talking about, and the one that you're saying is this great, wonderful God that I can lean on. I leaned on him, and mama is dead. Now what am I going to do? Now I don't have a mother. I don't have a good relationship with my father. And now what am I going to do? I don't have anybody. My grandmother died as well. So in the same way, my grandmother and my mother died within a few weeks of each other, and they were my caretakers. And now you're telling me to talk to this God here? I'm offended by him. I'm insulted by what he's done to me. Now what do I do? First of all, you have to understand. You have to understand that maybe God, there's a language. There's a different kind of a language. There's something that's more than just what you want and what I want, because I was one of the ones that was praying that they wouldn't die, but they died. Now what am I going to do? So what I want to say to you today is, now this is why the scripture is saying when we reassess ourselves in these kinds of places, we need to have some kind of anchor that we can anchor and we can nail it down. And you say, it doesn't matter, Lord, no, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. You can have that kind of an experience. She didn't have that experience, right? Because we didn't understand. So they're offended. So are you offended by what God is doing in your life? Are you offended by what God is, the response that God is giving? Let me tell you, God's way is best. If human wisdom, a fair way may seem to show, I don't know how to translate that to you, but I want to tell you, just keep at it, whatever it is that you're dealing with right now. If the Lord has offended you in some kind of a way, you know, one of the things that we have to do, we have to forgive people that have offended us, right? So I don't know. This is I've never preached a message like this before. So it's something that the Lord gave me while I was here. And so I said, here is this, that the Lord has offended me. What do I do when people offend me? I forgive them. You know what? It's easy to say I forgive in my heart, in my head. But it's much harder for it to go down from my head. I can say the words, and they're easy to say. And you can wrap your arm around me, and you can tell me, well, just forgive, and the Lord is going to bless you and all of this kind of stuff. But I'm offended ultimately. What do I do now? And so you know what I've learned? I tell you what, I've been in situations. I don't know if I've told you the story or not, but I've been in situations where, as a pastor, I was deeply hurt. I was deeply wounded. One of the things, if you don't want to be hurt, don't be a pastor. Right? Just like if you don't want people to talk about you, don't run for president. Because they're going to talk about you. I don't care how good you're doing, whether you're a Democrat, you're a Republican, it doesn't matter, independent, it doesn't matter. Somebody's going to talk about you. And if you got thin skin, it ain't going to work, right? So in the same way, but if you're going to be a saint of God, sometimes the things that people say hurt. So I was hurt deeply by people that were very close to me. And to the point that when I hear their name, it just does something to me, right? And I had to pray for myself, and I had to seek the Lord, and I kept, Lord, I can't, I've got to be able to forgive them. And there's sometimes those are the things that you're going to have to do to the Lord. There are going to be some things that the Lord is going to say and the Lord's going to allow in your life that you don't understand that it, what it makes sense. Look at Job. Yeah. Have you been through what Job has gone through? Anybody here been through as much as Job? He lost not only, he lost all of his family in one day. All except his wife. And then what happened? He lost everything. Rich man went from riches to something horrible in a matter of minutes. But what did he do? Would he have been insulted by God? Would that have offended you? That God allowed these things to happen? And then your wife comes to you and says, just curse God and die. This is not only hard for you, it's hard for me too, Job. Just curse God and die. I'd rather. But let me tell you what I say, and I often say when I preach about Job. Job, hold on. Just wait till the next chapter. It's going to be better at the end of the book. Hi, boy, because I'm looking at it historically. You're living in it in real time. But let me tell you, God wants to do something great in your life. All these offensive things that are happening, all these things that you don't understand why he's allowing this to happen in my life. And Lord, I don't know if I can trust you anymore. Let me tell you, there's a different chapter. And at the end of the book, it's going to be wonderful. Lord's going to restore you. That's all I can say to you. Do you believe that? But I'm offended at him. I'm offended at what has happened in my life. But let me tell you, I want to say that the Lord is concerned about you. And God sees an aspect of it that you cannot see. He sees an aspect. And there are sometimes, what do I say to this individual? It was my niece, right? What do I say to her? I wrap my arm around her. I just pray for her. I cry with her. I understand what you're going through. I'm going through something too. It's difficult for me, just like it's difficult for you. I don't understand why God did it. But do I question him? I think I have a right to go to the Lord, and I have a right to say, Lord, why? But you know why? What why is? Why is one of those insatiable questions? It's never satisfied. Well, somebody, and this is why oftentimes when we're talking to people about it, and they're saying, well, why did God let this happen to me? Well, you know, one of the things about offensive is a self-conscious kind of emotion. So it's about you. And there is a choice in offense. Have you ever said, you know what, I'm not even going to let that bother me? Have you ever said that? Have ever somebody done something and hurt you in some kind of way, and you say, you know what, I'm not even going to let that bother. What did you do? You just made a choice that you're not going to concentrate on that. You're not going to allow it to bother you, and it doesn't bother you because you don't give it the power to bother you. And in the same way, let me tell you, when you come up with offenses, you're going to say, I don't understand it. There is something about the world that I don't understand. There's something about a cell phone that I don't understand. I just use it. I don't know all the science behind it, but I use it, right? May the Lord help, and maybe that's what the Lord just wants us to do. The Lord knows what he's doing. You know what? We had the situation with brother, if you'll allow me to use this, brother, we're getting ready to come and do the project out there in Sacramento, and all of a sudden, a few hours before, we lose our brother, a very dear brother to me. And we lose him, and you know, we think, you want to say to the Lord, you can't say that somebody did it. You say it's the Lord. So why did the Lord do it? The answer is, I have no idea. We can piece it all together. We can put it in our mind. But let me tell you, at the end of the book, at the last chapter, we're going to find out when we stand before the Lord. The Lord said, oh, that's why you did that, Lord. I understand now. It all makes sense to me. We translated it from the temporal to the spiritual. Now it makes sense to me. But I may not know. We'll understand it better farther on, right? So here is Job. Job comes to the place, and I'm going to read a little bit about Job. Job says, you know, if I could see God, and I would make my cause before him, and I'd do all of these kinds of things, right? So what does the Lord do? I think in the 38th chapter, I don't have this in, but I think the 38th chapter of Job. Let's read, starting at the first verse, 38th chapter of Job. Let's start at the first verse. It says, and then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said,
who is it that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man.
I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. And after that, I mean, that's kind of like my mother saying, come here. What did you say? What did you say about me? What did you say about, you know, one of the things that we did, I don't know, y'all probably didn't do it. Y'all were probably better children than we were. But what we did, oftentimes, is mama and daddy tell us to do something, and we didn't want to do it, we go stomping away, and mumbling something up under our breath. Y'all do that? Mumbling something under your breath? Come here. What'd you say? Get popped in the mouth. Did that happen to you? Yeah, it happened to us. I don't know. It was 11 children of us, and we just, I got it from the older kids. It wasn't original, but I learned really early that you don't do it, right? So this is what the Lord is doing to Job. She says, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee and answer thou me.
Where wast thou?
Where were you
when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof? If thou knowest.
If you know that.
Or who hath stretched the line upon it.
Whereupon all the foundations. So anyway, he goes down a list of things that's far beyond Job. And Job, what can Job say? And so Job says in the, let's go to the 40th chapter and start at the first verse.
Moreover, the Lord
answered. Yes.
The Lord answered Job and
Lord
said.
Answered Job.
Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him?
You have something that you can teach the Lord. And so here's what's very interesting. When we get down to this, you have something that you can teach the Lord. This is what the Lord is saying to Job. Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him?
He that reproveth God, let him answer.
He that reproveth God, let him answer. All right, now read.
Then Job answered the Lord.
Here's Job's answer. And what does he say?
Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth.
Once I have spoken, but I will not answer.
Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further.
You know, and I want to drop down to the sixth. Go ahead, continue. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind, and said,
Gird up thy loins like a man.
I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me.
Wilt thou also disannul my judgment?
Will you disannul my judgment? I found it good enough to do this particular thing. I judged the situation before it ever happened. I judged it. And now you're going to say that there was a better way to do it than what I did? That's what you're going to say? And the Lord goes down the list and asks, when I did all of these things, where were you then? So you're saying that my wisdom is not good enough in your circumstances. It was good enough in all the other circumstances, but not in your circumstances. This is why the song that we sing, God's way is best, if human wisdom, a fair way, may seem to show, 'tis only by that our earthen vision, the truth can never clearly know. We can never clearly know it. So the Lord is saying, you have no right to disannul what I have done. You have no right to be offended at me. You don't understand what you're saying, Job. Well, Job, Lord, Job lost his children, all of his children. And it was as a result of what you allowed. All of them, not just one, not just two, all of them. In a matter of a few moments, he lost his house, and then his wife didn't support him. Let me tell you, men, as a husband, I can go through a whole lot if my wife is by my side. But if she turns against me, then I crumble. There is something that God gives us. It takes more. We don't have to crumble because the Lord's there. But what I'm saying is a lot more. Y'all know what I'm talking about. If your wife supports you, you can go through a whole lot, can't you? If she doesn't support you, then that's a difficult thing. And if my wife doesn't support me in a particular manner, it gives me pause. And I just put it in neutral for a moment until I either can convince her or she convinces me that what I'm doing is foolish. More often than not, she convinces me. All right. So he says here, disannul my judgment. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment?
Wilt thou condemn me?
That thou mayest be righteous?
Hast thou an arm like God? Or canst thou thunder? With a voice like him? Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency. And array thyself with glory and beauty.
You see what the Lord is saying? So this is what we do sometimes. Sometimes we feel in our own mind that, Lord, this just isn't fair. Life isn't fair. Have you ever felt that way? And sometimes we have this emotion of self-pity. And we feel sorry for ourselves. So if you know somebody that's in a place like that, let me tell you one of the things that they're dealing with. They're dealing with self-pity. They're bowing down and no one can talk to them. No one can booster them up and make them feel better and say all the right words. And then you just don't understand. But let me tell you, do you know what self-pity is a choice? Do you know offense being offensive is a choice? I'm going to show you a classic example. We'll try to bring this to an end. And we'll show you a classic example of how not to be offensive, allow offense to take place. I'm trying to find the scripture where it's talking about. Let's go to Matthew, the 15th chapter. Matthew 15, let's go to where he's talking to the Syrophoenician woman. 15, let's start at verse Matthew. Start at the beginning of that where the Syrophoenician woman comes running to him, if you can find that for us. Is that it? Let's see, 21. Yes.
Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying,
Have mercy on me, O Lord,
thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us.
Now this passage of scripture shows that maybe she just said it. Seems like it just said it once, but she said it to the point and to the level and to the degree that the disciples got on their nerves. Have anything ever gotten on your nerves? They got on their nerves. Send her away. If you're not going to do anything, just send her away. But she's crying after him. He's ignoring. Have anybody ever ignored you? What if somebody, you walked up to me and said, hello, Brother Daryl, and I just looked at you like this from the top of your head, the sole of your foot to the top of your head, and then just turned away and didn't say anything. How would you feel? Really, how would you feel? You'd feel offended, wouldn't you? I'm not giving you a look of disdain. It's just that I'm ignoring you. Right? Well, you would feel offended. But this woman wasn't. So here's what we have. Oftentimes when something offends us, it's got something to do with our pride. I'm offended at what you said because I feel like you had no right to do that to me. Yeah. Who are you versus who am I, right? And so what he's saying here is, continue to read. He's answering her not a word to the point that the disciples are upset about it. All right, read.
Send her away, for she cried after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Certain nationalities, I'm not going to give them the time of day. How would that make you feel? Whatever your nationality is, I'm not going to give you the time of day because I'm not sent to you. But she knows that that's the only person that can help her. Would you not be offended by that? Right? And what did she do?
Then came she and worshipped
him,
saying,
Then came she and worshipped him, Lord, and saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Help me.
But he answered her and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs.
I want to say something about worship. Worship is, the scripture says in one place, it says that the Lord seeks for true worshipers. They that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth, right? And so what that truth is reality. There is a reality that we worship the Lord in, and it's God's reality, not our reality. Oftentimes we want to worship the Lord the way we want to worship him, but God has a reality in the way that he wants to be worshiped. And so this woman comes in, enters into the reality that it doesn't matter what you say. I had a sister, and one of the things is he said, I don't care what people do to me as long as I get what I want. There's something to that. You can call it what you want to. She said, I don't care what they call me. If you knew her, this is how she would act. I don't care what they call me. I don't care what they do as long as I get what I want. And she would just keep her eyes on the prize until she got what he wanted. You can talk about her. You can degrade her. You can do whatever you want. But she wasn't going to stop until she got what she wanted. This is what this woman did. Lord, say what you want to say. I am not going to be offended at you because I've got the humility enough to believe that that you're going to take care of this because you don't have any other option. You don't have any other option because I'm going to stay here. You didn't send me away. The first time when she said, have you ever thought about it? When your parents said something, and I'm almost done here. Your parents said something to you. Well, they didn't say no. Go ask mama. Well, they didn't say no. Well, we'll think about it. Well, that means that's a hopeful, isn't it? Yeah. Well, let me think about it. Not right now or something other than no. If it wasn't no, then there was something that I could continue to press my point. And so this is what what she did to the Lord. He didn't say no. He didn't say anything, but he didn't say no. So that I'm going to just keep asking, and I'm going to importune until I get what I want. And so this is what happened. And he said, I'm not sent to the lost house, but nothing to the lost house of Israel. And he still didn't say no. So I'm going to continue to press my point. Even though rejection, one of the things that we don't like as individuals, I don't like to be rejected. I don't want anybody, when I'm rejected, I get offended, right? We get offended because we're rejected. So what I want to say, what has the Lord done that has offended you today? I want you to know that there's a higher purpose. The Lord has something greater in your life. There's something more wonderful for you. And that's why the Lord is allowing this to happen. Can you believe it? The only way that I can tell you that is look at Job's life. You haven't gone through what Job has gone through. And Job was, the Lord restored and made him much richer than he ever was. Gave him more children, more beautiful children than what he ever had. Yes, he missed those other things. But let me tell you, God has something wonderful for you that's much greater than what he's taken away from you. Or what he's allowed to happen to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? I wish I could explain it like the Lord gave it to me. All right, continue to read. She said, Lord, the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table.
Then Jesus answered.
Okay, now, did he just call me a dog? Is that what he equated me with once? But she says, truth, Lord, I don't care what you do, as long as I get what I want. As long as I get what I need, you can call me what you want to call me. All right?
Then Jesus answered and said unto her,
O woman,
great is thy faith.
Great is thy faith.
Be it unto thee even as thou wilt.
Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Now, you know what I want to say to you that are hurting. There's somebody that's hurting here today. There's something that's happened in your life, and you don't know how to respond to it. And the response of the church, because we're the representatives of the Lord, and the response of the church, there was another situation in Mark, I believe the 9th chapter, 23rd verse, where the man brought his son to the disciples, and he says, he brings him to the disciples, my son has the devil, and now all of a sudden he throws him in the fire and whatnot, and he says, I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't do anything. He says, so Lord, if you can do anything, have mercy on me and help me. And so what happens is we stop short of bringing it directly to the Lord. Let me tell you, there are some times that we have to circumvent the church. We have to circumvent the disciples because maybe we don't have what we need, but you can always go directly to the Lord. So what he did, he went to the Lord. The Lord said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe it. And immediately he laid his hands on the child, and the child was delivered. Let me tell you what it is. You can be hurt by what the saints do or can't do. or the impotence of the saints, where we couldn't do it, and this little group is not what I thought they were. But let me tell you, may the Lord help you to understand that God is here, that God is going to take care of you, that God is concerned about everything that concerns you. I want you to be encouraged this way. I want you to understand that if there's something that's hurt you, and you've been hurt so bad, and you don't know if there's any way to come back, let me tell you, come back and talk to the Lord. It's not just me. It's not Brother Darrell that can help you, because I oftentimes have to tell a person, I'm sorry, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to tell you, but God knows. Yeah. And what I can help you to do, I can direct you to the Lord, and I can tell you, you got to get a hold of the Lord for yourself, and you got to make certain that the Lord understands your cause and your situation, and the Lord will do it. And let me tell you what somebody in history will be looking at. They'll be looking at all the difficulty that you went through and how it seemed like it was an offensive situation, but the Lord took you through it. Amen. And your testimony will be like Job. Yeah. But you've got to let the Lord do it. Yeah. There's a place in the scripture that talks about, but let it be healed. Let it be healed. So in other words, what does that mean? That means that I've got to allow it to be healed. If you don't want to be healed, if you want to just keep picking at it and keep being offended at the Lord and all this, you're never going to get healing. And what does the Lord do? He says, I come to bring healing to the brokenhearted. Are you brokenhearted about something? Are you going through some difficulty and you just don't know what to do, and you just feel like, you know, one of the things that I've learned about people, I've learned about one of the hardest things, hands down, I've been with people that have lost their mothers, their fathers. I've lost my mother, my father, my siblings, and I've been with people that have lost people that are very, very dear to them. And I see that it's hard, but the hardest thing that I've ever dealt with in my 35 years of ministry is people going through divorce. People where there is a breakup in a relationship. It's not a spouse dying, because when they're dead, they're just dead and they're gone. And you know that they're never coming back, and you can heal from that point. But when somebody keeps coming and they keep hitting that place, it gets hurt right down deep inside, and I'm offended, and they hate each other, and I can't stand to hear his name, and I can't stand to hear her name, and all the things that they do to spite each other, and they're hurting. May the Lord help them. And let me tell you, what do you do? That's the hardest thing that I've ever had to deal with over a course of years, is every time that happened, there is somebody that needs the Lord to heal them. I believe somebody needs the Lord to help you heal in that place. Just forgive them. Just forget about the offense. Fall down and worship the Lord. Allow the Lord to do something grand and great in your life. Let me tell you, the next chapter to your life is better than the one that's going on right now. This too shall pass. You're going to get through it by the help and the grace of God. But you've got to allow the Lord. You've got to let it heal. You've got to let the offense heal. You've got to let the hurt heal. And where do, Brother Darrell, but tell me how to do it. I don't know how to, I don't know what to tell you. All I know how to tell you is how to start it. I can tell you how to start it. You come down, you find an altar of prayer wherever you are. You ask the Lord to have mercy on you and help you. You kneel down, you begin to pray, and you give the Lord time to let it heal. Let me tell you, I had an accident, a very terrible accident with my eye. And y'all heard that. And one of the things that the doctor said to me, he said it's going to take about a year for it to heal. And let me tell you, it was painful for a year. There are going to be things that when you have a person, and this is what I've learned, that you have two people that have lived together, and they work together, right? Just like the eye. One of the things he told me, he said, if you don't get this eye taken out, and I didn't do it, I felt like I wanted to trust the Lord. He said, what's going to happen? You're going to set up sympathetic ophthalmia, and your good eye is going to die, and it's going to close and try to send all of the healing virtue to the bad eye, and there's no hope. So get this one taken out, and you're going to be fine. But let me tell you something. Sometimes what we need to do, there are some things of what somebody else did to you blinds your good eye. Because of what they did, you're hurt. Yes, you're hurt. Y'all did everything together, and he wounded me in a way that I can't trust this man anymore. I can't trust this woman anymore. All the things that they've done, it's horrible. Brother Darrell, if you understood, you wouldn't be saying for me to just give it to the Lord. I can't give it to the Lord. I can't forgive him for what he's done. Yes, you can. You know what you do when you forgive somebody? Let me tell you something. When you forgive somebody, you're doing yourself a favor. You know what? They're on a beach in Hawaii somewhere enjoying themselves, and you're having a problem with them. They have control over you. May the Lord have mercy on us. What I want to say is, are you offended? Does this thing offend you that the Lord has allowed to happen in your life? Are you offended by it? Are you offended by God? Are you offended at God? Are you offended at God's people? Well, they said this to me years ago, and 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, last week. I'm just hurt. I don't have anything to do with them. The Lord has. Let me tell you where to start. I can't tell you all the intricate details, but I can tell you where to start. You can start at an altar of prayer. Wherever that altar is, if it's right here, this is a good place to start. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord will give you step-by-step instructions. And he'll let you see that, you know what? You know what? I've got something better for you. You're looking at all this difficult and hard stuff right now. Well, I got something better for you. The Lord has something better for you than just to wallow in your self-pity and to wallow in your hurt and to wallow in your unforgiveness. God has something better for you. Do you want it? Do you want to be delivered from that? You can be delivered today. May the Lord help us. Pray for me.